One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I am Jared Weiss. He's Mo DeKeel. Danielle Lehman is our producer. And we're going to start with the Mavs-Clippers game because Nicholas Batum didn't miss a shot until his very last shot of the game, which happened to be his best play of the game because he had to miss a free throw to try to extend the game. The ball fell into Robert Covington's hands. He looked at the rim before the ball was in his hands. And what happened after that, Mo?
He just lost the ball out of bounds. It's the classic, if you're a football fan, it's the classic, you don't look the ball under your hands, you immediately start looking upfield, and they blew it right there. And I think that was a big opportunity in that moment. Batum was awesome in this game. Wow. 7 of 7. I mean, all threes, like he just kind of went completely nuts scoring wise off the bench for the Clippers, but a bit of a disappointing loss.
I thought they had it. Like, it really seemed like they had it. Also, it was just funny that Covington only played 5 minutes and he just came in for that one play. And we just have to talk about that for a second. They executed a brilliant play there where they box out all the Mavs into the middle of the paint and he sneaks around the backside of the lane there. I mean, it worked to perfection. It was one of the few things that worked to perfection in this game. Paul George.
Well, it wasn't the Clippers' offense. Especially not in the first half when they only managed to score 32 points. Like, you know, this is really what's been plaguing the Clippers all season. They erupted in the second half, but that's an issue. Like, you can't come out flat like that and only score 15 and 17 points over two quarters. Like, that's brutal.
And this is a game where Paul George played 42 minutes. I mean, they rode the wave with him as much as possible, but he had 10 turnovers. Like, it was rough.
Yeah, I mean, it just was not a good night in terms of taking care of the ball from the Clippers. 21 turnovers, half of that practically from Paul George. Like, damn, man, you're really putting yourself in the hole as a team. And on the other side, Luka Doncic, just continuing to be Luka Doncic, you know, just a quiet 35, 11, 5 assist night, just quiet.
Hit half his shots, hit all of his free throws, only 3 turnovers. Beautiful, beautiful shot at the end there. I mean, that was what decided the game.
I mean, that put them up, I think, 4 or 5 right there. The Clippers played great defense, really, that entire possession. And then the ball finds its hands right into Luka, and he just drills it. I think that's just a tough break right there for how they're playing. And you know, that's just the other thing about Luka, man. Like, he's incredible, Jared. Like, we're running out of adjectives for him.
I mean, they do call him magic for a reason. The Mavs closing this one out, you know, because they had a huge lead. They were up by, was it 20, like 5 in the first half? Clippers offense found itself. I mean, credit to John Wall. He came through again. Mook had a pretty decent second half. How did you feel like Dallas responded in the stretch?
No, I think they just made just enough right plays down the stretch to keep the game going for them. I think that was the important thing in the way that they played. They got lucky. Let's just not, you know, skip over the whole Covington thing, just dropping the ball out of bounds. They got lucky on that play, but sometimes you got to get a little lucky. They made the right moves. Up 3, they fouled, you know, on the inbounds to make sure that the Clippers didn't have a chance to tie it, and that's what led to the situation with Covington. I feel like in general, you know, nice win. You wish you could blow him out because then you can give Luka some rest. I mean, heavy minutes load. 40 minutes for Luka, 41 for Dinwiddie. I mean, you're really overloading these guys.
Let's head out to the Pelicans winning without Zion. It's amazing how they're able to win without Zion every single time we have the dig. They beat Memphis, who had Jaren Jackson Jr. back. They win 113 to 102. And let's just start with CJ McCollum, who had a 30-point night with 9 dimes and only 2 turnovers. And he was just so good moving the ball in the fourth quarter.
I mean, this is why you made the move that you made last season, right? Like, you know, you're making the joke of just how they kind of win without Zion. Jared, they did that all last season. When Zion's not playing, they get to kind of just go back to, hey, let's just play the way we played last season. And they begin to get moving with everything that they got. CJ's a pro. is that simple, you know? And I think that's just what you're getting from him, you know, very seasoned. He's kind of just a perfect piece for this team in terms of keeping the flow and knowing when to get the right guys the ball and the right shots. But I think there's another guy you want to talk about, Jared.
I mean, we're talking about Larry Nance Jr., the one and only.
The dominant Larry Nance Jr.
He was so good. I mean, him just, you know, what was funny was, I mean, he was good rolling to the hoop, but CJ was finding him just kind of like wide open in the dunker spot there at the end of the games. I mean, they were getting Memphis's defense in all sorts of weird spots, and Nance was just flying through it and making them pay.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's just, again, it's easy. You have a guy like CJ teeing you up. It can make guys like Nance a much bigger weapon. In that sense, right? Somebody that could find him on the dunker spot and, you know, make the right plays with everything that they have. Like, this was just an impressive performance. Again, I expect this from New Orleans, even when Zion's out. They proved it last year that they can win games without Zion. And I feel like, you know, even if Zion's out, they have a chance to win.
Okay, well, great game from Ja, but obviously we got to talk about Triple J. How did he look to you?
He looked rusty. I think he's trying to kind of find his flow. I mean, 3 of 14 from the field is a tough night, you know, and I think he's at some points forcing it. I mean, he's been sitting out and probably chomping at the bits to play. But Jared, we got to talk about that Ja dunk.
It was nice. It was pretty nice.
I mean, no, stop it. If it was Poku, you would have opened the show with it. Stop it. No, that thing was damn impressive. It's like the new version of the MJ switching hands, except this time it was a dunk. Like, that was an impressive ass dunk from him in that play. It's, you know, Ja was awesome in this game again tonight. 36 points, just kind of rolling, but too much CJ, too much Brandon Ingram, and too much of your guy, Larry Nance Jr.
Honestly, I was kind of confused. Like, why did he switch the hand? It felt like he already had the dunk up there and was going to get fouled on it, too. Did he do it just to put MJ in his place?
I mean, if you have the opportunity to do that, you do that. Listen, yeah, if you missed the dunk, you're like, what the hell are you doing and all that stuff. But in general, I think it's just in the moment, he probably didn't think he had it. And that's why he had to switch it over. But did you catch also the little rivalry brewing between Jose Alvarado and our good old buddy Ja Morant?
I actually didn't even notice that. Take me through it.
Well, there was Alvarado gets a bucket on him on one end. Morant comes back to him on the other end, gets an and one, and then hits him with the two small. It was just fun stuff. Like, this is guys, this is what we love in basketball and what we've been needing. Rivalries. Little sort of chippiness. I love it.
I mean, what I loved about the two small is that, like, Alvarado really muscled through him on his layup. It was kind of like they both had like the same exact play. It's like, I don't understand why Ja's hit him with the two small, but it's literally like not only is it the same move, Ja didn't even like muscle him. He just kind of shot over him a little bit. It's like, I feel like Alvarado should be the one going with the two small.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the thing is, when you do the two small to Alvarado, everybody just goes like, yeah, that's kind of the point. You know, he is small and just playing so well, but just fun. I like the rivalry building within this team. I think this is something that's going to be fun to keep an eye on all season, because I think the Pelicans can win the division.
Let's get to the Blazers. They win 117 to 110 over the Spurs, which is remarkable considering Jakob Poeltl was taking over offensively, something we're totally used to and totally expected. But Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons, Dame Lillard all came through at different parts of this game. It really was Anthony Simons' tightly contested three at the very end to give them the separation they needed to win it.
Yeah, but I think it was also a big couple of big plays. Damian Lillard coming up with a big block on Bates Diop down the stretch. And then on the next play, hit in one of his deep threes that really kind of put the Spurs behind the eight ball. And then, as you said, Simons with the big, big, big three, where it looked like, hey, like, this is going to be a possession where the Spurs are going to get a stop down to have a chance to go at it on the other end. Spurs offense down the stretch was brutal. They gave up a 17-4 run in, you know, to end this game. Like, that's how you lose games. That simple.
Listen, so the legend, Jakob Poeltl, he tipped in, kind of volleyball set, tipped in a layup with 7 minutes left to put him up six. That was his 31st point of the night. Their next field goal was 3 minutes later where Bates Diop, he had a putback, which is like, you know, still not a good offensive possession. It wasn't until Kelton Johnson, with like 2 minutes left, had that really nice floater. But that was it. Those were the only points that they had in the stretch. I mean, they were in full control, two-possession lead, and it just evaporated.
Yeah, I mean, just some really bad shots, and I'm going to take a little bit of a cheap shot at Josh Richardson. Does he need to be playing that much? He got 24 minutes. He's one of the guys who took a bad shot in the fourth quarter, you know, just kind of settling for a three. And, you know, for a team that's going to be trying to go younger and things like that, do you need him to be playing 24 minutes?
I mean, at least Vassell and Johnson are getting, you know, the key minutes. And Vassell, I joke before that, it's funny, I said I wanted to do Spurs. You're like, nah, second night of back-to-back, they're going to get blown out. I said there was going to be a 30-point game from Devin Vassell. I was a little bit, it ended in an L at the very least, the last name. It was Jakob Poeltl, who I've always loved, and it was amazing to see him go 14 for 17 from the field. So he went 31 points in 31 minutes, 14 boards, and 5 assists. That's pretty remarkable. Devin Vassell, he had 21 points, 7 for 15 shooting. And then Jeremy Grant deserves a shout-out because he had 29 points. He shot 6 for 8 from deep. 29 points on only 15 field goal attempts. That's really impressive.
Just an impressive night for him. But I also want to – one thing that did catch my eye, even though they lost, and maybe we're talking more about the Spurs and the Blazers than we should and the fact that they lost, but I was kind of impressed with Sochan on Damian Lillard. Like, that was the thing where the Spurs were like, all right, you got Dame down the stretch. And for the most part, I thought he did a pretty good job.
Sochan might be able to defend 1 through 5 in a couple of years.
He might be able to do it now.
Or can he do it now? Yeah, I mean, he's so good. And obviously, like, you love the hair. The hair just makes it so much fun to watch. But, wow, he has the tenacity, the balance, and the size. Like, he's a lot bigger than I realized. I didn't get that pick until I saw how big he was, and it makes sense now. It feels like they picked Johnson and Vassell all over again. So the Knicks won, and they beat the Jazz, and that's shocking because the Jazz have been pretty good this year, and the Knicks generally haven't been pretty good for a while now. But this was a pretty crucial game for them. So they won 118 to 111 in Utah. And they somehow stopped the clinic. Kelly Olynyk, who had 27 points, got to the line 13 times. But this was a really nice game for Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what a competent point guard does for the New York Knicks. And also, we're going to have to start to assume that Jalen Brunson loves to play in Utah. Just, you know, very solid, easy 25-8 type of night from him, 10-20 from the field. Like, I pretty impressed with him. It was a close game. It's a 7-point game. But, you know, Brunson, man, when he goes into Utah, man, I think he's beginning to light up after what happened last year in the playoffs.
All right, we saved the best for last. Brooklyn Nets, they scored 121 points. They had a near 50-40-90 night. Solid offensive performance from Kevin Durant. That should be enough to get the win against Sacramento. Unless they give up 153 points.
Wrong, Jared. Wrong. That is not good enough to get the win against Sacramento. Because Sacramento, 60% from the field, 48.8% from three. Jared, 39 assists for the Sacramento Kings. They put up 153 points.
That's a season high in the NBA. It comes right after 145 points for OKC against the Knicks. What is with all these bottom feeder teams lighting it up on offense? I mean, this is just incredible. Kevin Huerter had such a nice game. He shot 7 for 10. But it was Terrence Davis out of nowhere. He had 31 points in 26 minutes.
12 of 16, 7 of 10 for 3. They just couldn't stop him. Terrence Davis is too much. He is simply too much for the Nets.
Congrats to whoever just hit on the parlay tonight of having the Kings set a new season high for points and Jakob Poeltl have 31 points. That person won at least $14 million, I hope.
I mean, $14 million would be a lot.
I mean, $14 million is what I hope I'll get paid for the next episode of The Ding, but we'll find out next time because he's Mo DeKeel. I'm Jared White. She is Danielle Lehman producing. This is The Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.